Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Grace Hour. We are so glad that you have joined us today. I'm Jasmine Field, and I'm here with my amazing co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, and we love being with you all. So thank you so much for being here today. Right off the bat, we want to encourage you all to call in today. We love hearing from you. Please, please give us a call. If you're calling us toll-free in the United States and Canada, you can call 1-800-338-7060. Or if you're calling in Baltimore and outside of the United States, you can call 410-483-3700. Also, we want to invite you to our evening service tonight. We love meeting new people, and we love the Word. So please join us at 7 p.m. We're at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We'd love to see you there. Also, people can listen to today's Grace Hour on gracehour.org and Facebook Live. And please feel free to share any comments with us. We really love to know that you're interacting with us and that you're hearing the message and being built up. So Michelle has a couple of announcements because there's some really cool stuff coming up. And I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yay. Thank you, honey. All right. Not this Friday, but next Friday, January 21st, is Girls Night In.
Yeah.
And it's for girls of all ages. Cool. I would say 8 to 88 or older. It doesn't matter. Awesome. We're not checking IDs at the door. We love to get together, and this is what I call our most user-friendly event. We're very relaxed evening. We're going to have Christian dance exercise.
Wow.
So all of you who need a little help, and I need a little help.
Just had third baby.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I don't have excuse. I had fourth baby, but that was decades ago.
You are beautiful, Michelle.
Thank you. So, but come out. We're going to paper craft. We'll have games, hot chocolate, cookies. We will be worshiping with the wonderful Jasmine Field. Oh, my goodness.
And it will be fun.
Yeah. We're going to have a good time. Yeah. Bring a friend. It's $5. You can register online. The registration's already up if you want to get that taken care of, if you want to bring a group.
Okay.
Or you can pay at the door. I mean, $5. What can you get for $5 nowadays? Mm. And we will hear from Abby Abraham that night.
Oh, so wonderful.
So looking forward to that.
That's awesome.
So I don't know if you set New Year's resolutions.
I don't even do it anymore. I'm like, you know what? The way I'm going to get through this decision is with Jesus. So I'm not doing that
anymore. There you go. But I looked on the internet, and how do we have a healthy heart? Okay, avoid tobacco, exercise regularly, eat a healthy diet, watch your weight, get enough sleep. Those are all things that will give you a healthy heart. Mm-hmm. How can we prevent a spiritually hardened heart? You want a healthy heart or a hard heart? Mm. I think we want a healthy heart. Let's see. In the Bible, I always love to just, any thought we take, we jump to the Bible.
Yes.
And I especially love when Jesus talks about something. The parable of the sower is in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and I'm going to read it for you in Luke 8. Mm. A large crowd was gathering. People were coming to Jesus from town after town. He told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was sowing, some seed fell along the path where it was trampled, and birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the seedlings withered because they had no moisture. Others fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the seedlings. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it sprang up and produced a crop, 100-fold. As Jesus said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Mm. Later, his disciple asked him what this parable meant. I love these guys.
I know. They're just so plain about it. Like, we understand that there's something really substantial in what you just said. We just don't necessarily understand what you just said.
Yeah. Well, he said, Here's the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Hmm. The seeds along the path are those who hear, but the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. The seeds on rocky ground are those who hear the word and receive it with joy, but they have no root. Hmm. They believe for a season, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seeds that fell among the thorns are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the worries, riches, and pleasures of their life, and the fruit does not mature. But the seed on good soil are those with a noble and a good heart, who hear the word, cling to it, and by persevering produce a crop. Mm. So we see four different types of hearts here. Mm-hmm. All are a product of our decisions.
Yes.
I used to always think, of course, I must have the good, happy heart at the end. Yeah, I was young. Okay. Now I've found out at any moment you can be bouncing from each one of these hearts. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the first one, a hard heart. And I'll read it in a different translation. He's sowing the seed and some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. What does it mean to be trodden down? It means to tread upon, to trample underfoot, to treat with rudeness and even insult, to spurn and to treat with insulting neglect.
Wow.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yep. That's from the Blue Letter Bible. If you don't have a set of commentaries, and I don't have exactly a favorite set, but I like to go on Blue Letter Bible, blueletterblb.com. And that was their definition for that word trodden.
Wow.
Who's doing the trotting? Well, the world, my flesh, and the devil.
I was going to say sometimes it's you doing it to yourself. Yes. It is definitely you. Yep. It's not always someone else's fault.
Yep, we're just being real here, girls. Let's start with the world, okay? Because it's easy to point fingers at them. But sometimes you live too close to where there's a lot of traffic. Mm-hmm. All right. And yep, you're making these decisions. I've read that you can be a victim of the Seattle syndrome. Amazon, Starbucks, Microsoft, and Costco are all headquartered in Seattle.
Wow.
So too much shopping, too much news, too much caffeine, too much screen time. With all the conveniences of modern living, how come we don't have office free time?
That's a really good question. That's a really great question.
Yep. We are like flitting from thing to thing in our house. And nothing is worse for me than getting up early. I can get up at 6 a.m. and not get to church on time for 9 a.m.
Oh.
Because I start, you know, swirling here, swirling there, twirling here. Oh, what about this? I wonder if I can get that on Amazon. I'll just look for a quick minute.
Well, that's the thing. What we're consuming after we've made our decisions or as we're walking with God, sometimes we don't know we're being deceived. Sometimes we don't realize that we have a weakness that we keep giving into. Mm. And it's so important to just be honest and genuine with God about where maybe you are not interested in his will in a certain area. He can handle that. He doesn't get offended because he can place a desire in your heart and turn your heart to want what he wants. But we have to first admit it to ourselves and admit it to him when we are having trouble. You know, sometimes we need to, we were talking about this yesterday, sometimes we need to recommit ourselves to the decision that we have made, not necessarily in Christ, but maybe at this season of our walk in Christ. You know, when we're walking in this new direction, you know, right now I'm a new mom of three and I love these children dearly. Oh my gosh, they just brighten my world so much. But learning how to embrace each of them with all of their needs throughout the day, take care of the needs that I have, keep myself spiritually built up, manage and coordinate schedules, take care of our home, check on people that are important to us, try to pray. I mean, it's a lot. And I found myself saying, Lord, I know this is going to sound kind of funny, but I just want you to know that I am willing to have three kids. I want you to know, even though it's a mess and right now I am transitioning and I know I'm transitioning and things are very heavy, I'm just saying from me to you, I am willing to be a mom of three children. And I needed to say that out loud, you know, just to remind myself I wasn't in this position a few months ago, you know, and you just have these idealisms sometimes about what your decision means. And then as God unpacks it and shows you, I think it's very healthy. Like you were saying, have a healthy heart. I think it's very healthy to say, maybe I need to recommit myself in this position that I'm in now that I understand this new thing that it entails.
Yeah.
You know,
so good.
Very important.
So good. Our flesh can also play a part in having a hard heart. My husband and I walk in a wooded area near our home, and after it rains, those paths are so slippery. It's too smooth. All right. I think we should beware of things that are too smooth, too easy.
Yes.
You know, does your couch have an indent from where you sit?
Oh, goodness.
Yes.
I think you just called out many people.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Have you ever felt yourself being pulled into a forbidden but exciting situation? You sense the red flags, but you convince yourself you can handle it. Hey, I'm just having a little fun. This won't amount to anything. It just gives me something to look forward to. And some of the most dangerous lies we listen to are the ones we tell ourselves. We kind of brush off conviction. You keep secrets from people because you know they would call you out. Would you hand your phone to some of your very spiritual girlfriends? No. You lie, you pretend, you have just one more cookie. Come on, it won't hurt, one more. You watch just one more episode of that favorite show. You buy just one more pair of shoes. Come on, they're so cute. You send just one more provocative text. But we have no idea what a voracious appetite sin has. Sin may seem like no big deal at first. But it's been said, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay.
Wow.
You know?
That's so true. It makes me think about this verse in Song of Solomon. It's chapter 8, verse 5, and it says, "Who is this coming up from the desert, leaning on her beloved?" And L.B. Cowan, the writer of Streams in the Desert, she references a lesson that she learned during a prayer meeting that she didn't expect to be so profound. And she said she heard this brother praying out loud, thanking God for blessings, asking him for specific things. And then at the end of the prayer, he said, "And O Lord, support us. Yes, support us, O Lord, on every leaning side." And this was powerful to meditate on for her because she realized we all have leaning sides of our faith. There are some areas we just do not want to give to God 100%.
Yeah.
Even though we know in our mind, hey, there's some gray areas right here. You know, God really needs your whole submission here. But it's too uncomfortable. It's too vulnerable. Or maybe like you were saying earlier, it's just too hard. We want the smooth path. We've had a lot of hardship already. We're ready for a break. You don't know what my day is like. At the end of the day, I deserve this cookie. I deserve this show. I deserve to binge watch this. You know, we just have these justifications. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, where am I leaning more towards unbelief rather than faith in my life?
That's good.
Because we all have that certain section of our heart where it is beginning to harden. And we have to be able to lift that up to God and believe that he will support us in that. So I know that when we make decisions initiated by God, the journey of walking the decision out is a very different story. We kind of create a target out of ourselves for the enemy. But at the same time, we have to have a strong frame of reference, that word that God gave us and spoke to us in our heart through a message or through a verse or through that personal time of prayer that we really have to protect. You know, even me, you know, it's very, very busy when you have small children, but I never want to use that as an excuse to parent in my flesh or try to feed myself things that are just not going to provide the iron in me that I need from the Word of God. So sometimes we have to remember, you know, yes, I know that I am leaning in a certain area and God knows it too. We can't hide from him, you know, but he also wants to be that support because he says to us in his word, "I'm going to do it. It's not you. I'm going to do it." But we have to be honest about it in the first place.
So good.
You know?
So good. I know that the first part, this first hardened heart, Jesus makes it really clear it's an unsaved person. Mm. You know, the soil is so hard that the seed just bounces off and the enemy is there. But in Hebrews 3:13, it says, exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So here we are today. We're not trying to condemn you. We are there with you, but we want to exhort each other.
Yes.
You know, be careful of those things. I've started watching movies or TV shows that everybody was talking about. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, have you read this book? It's so amazing. And now it's on a movie. It's on TV. Go watch it. And I've started, oh yeah, I can't wait. You know, sit down with my cup of tea and my blanket. And within like sometimes 10 seconds, it's off.
Yeah.
And I have seen things that, okay, wow.
I know.
Or sometimes in the first 20 minutes, I'm like, okay, well, this is all right because I'm married, but really?
Right.
If Jesus was sitting next to me, would we be watching this? No.
I don't think he'd be reaching for the popcorn like, let's keep this on.
No.
But, you know, that's the thing. You know, we have to have this constant awareness that Amazon's choice may not be a good choice for us, even if it has 5 stars, even if it has these great actors. And I'm sensitive to wonderful, strong storylines. I am a trained actor, so I love the stories that just draw you in. But sometimes it's drawing in everything about my flesh. Mm. You know, it is not the best decision, especially before I go to bed, especially after I've had a very trying day with my kids. That's what I'm going to invest in to build myself back up. It may be entertaining, but is it the wisest decision?
Right.
You know?
Well, we've got an enemy. Matthew 13:19. When anyone hears the word of God and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which is sown in his heart. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So how do we avoid this hardened heart? Well, I think Psalm 95 is excellent. Psalm 95 verse 8, the psalmist encourages us to harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And yeah, he's talking about those hard years when they were there. You know, they thought the promised land was just going to be a hop, skip, and a jump. Mm-hmm. You know, just a quick Uber ride across town and woohoo, there we go.
Yeah.
But no, it wasn't. It was a very long and drawn out trial. Yeah. And you could blame God and you can get angry when your trials are long and drawn out.
Oh, goodness.
You know?
Yeah, sometimes I feel like we're walking in these decisions and we forget that God saw the entire span of when your heart was led to make the decision, when you finally committed yourself to the decision, and then all the surprises that you feel like you're getting while you're walking in the decision. But he's not surprised, you know, and it's purposeful. Sometimes I think that because we've had these negative experiences with people, we start attributing those things to God and we say, no, he just likes to see me suffer. He just likes it. He's just up there saying, come on now, figure it out. Or he's laughing at me, or he said one thing in his word, but I don't feel that support right now, you know? And we have to be careful because God is the wisest being that we can consult in our decisions.
So good.
You know, he is the wisest one, and he knows you like no one else. He knows your life like no one else, and he knows what you are to become. You know, he began a great work in you. Mm. So when we start to be doubtful, fearful, stressed, pulled down, it's not that he's lost control. It's usually that another trait is being created in us, or a trait we already have is being built upon in Christ. Mm. And it does hurt. It does a lot of the time. But that doesn't mean that your decision is wrong. Discomfort is not an indication that your decision in Christ is wrong. But we feel it so loudly. Yep. And we say, something's wrong here. And God is clapping in heaven saying, no, stick close to me. Come on, we can do this.
All right. Every teacher, missionary, and mother just nodded their head with us. Because we know the path is not easy.
No, it's not.
So this morning, I was anxious about something and I was pushing it down. And then I said, no, I'm going to go to Psalm 95 here. and do exactly what I'm going to tell you right now. Mm. Verse 1, come let us sing to the Lord. Mm. You can't sing to the Lord if you're crazy with anxiety, right?
Oh,
you,
yeah.
You can't carry a tune and your bucket of anxious thoughts at the same time.
Right.
So just, you know, stop. Oh. Let's sing unto the Lord a new song. Mm-hmm. That's the verse that says, make a joyful noise mm-hmm. to the rock of our salvation and mm-hmm. sing joyfully and triumphantly. Come on, he's come through for you before.
Yes.
What, he's forgotten about you?
Right.
You know, 2022 right. passed and he's busy? No.
That's how he can feel.
He's here for you. Mm-hmm. Verse 2 in that psalm says, come before his presence with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I sat on the bathroom floor and I started counting all the lovely things God has done for me.
Wow.
You know, I just completely stopped getting ready this morning mm-hmm. and, you know, sang in the bathroom and thanked God. And then verse 6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Mm-hmm. The scripture is so important. It gives us steps exactly what to do. Let us worship.
Yes.
An act of consecration.
Wow.
Right? Where we stop everything and we turn our attention to the Lord.
Yes.
Let us bow down. Humility and repentance. Mm. Like, oh, Lord, what am I doing here? Am I operating in some kind of crazy reaction? You know, have I got my signals crossed? Let's straighten it out and be humble and let yourself think you could be wrong. All right?
My goodness.
Yeah, let yourself think you could be wrong.
Yes.
And then kneel before God.
Yeah.
That's a supreme act of surrender.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I took myself through these steps this morning.
Wow.
And verse 7, he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you'll hear his voice, that means listen. And I quieted myself and I started to listen. And I'll tell you, this singing, this thanksgiving, this worship, this humility, this surrender, this listening happens for me in church.
Oh, okay.
If you're not going to church, wow, besides free babysitting in the nursery, you are missing out.
Oh, definitely.
You know, you're missing out what God is trying to so desperately working in your pastor to feed you and teach you something.
Yeah, and we need to be sowed into. I mean, so much can happen in 1 week. So much can happen in 1 day. And we have to go back to the place that reminds us where we are grounded. We are grounded in Christ. Our identity is in Christ. And he has ongoing things to share with us.
Mm.
He has ways he wants to replenish us and refill us. And being in an atmosphere that just embraces and welcomes his presence is so key, especially with other believers. And then being able to talk to people sometimes and hear that they're on the other side of where you are now. You know, it's so important. And I love what you said about just being quiet. You know, that was the missing element that I realized was continuing to challenge me. I am trying to control an environment and go back to how it used to be in many cases, because that's what I'm more familiar with. And then these thoughts started coming back into my mind about what one of the nurses said to me about my second daughter, actually not Evelyn, my most recently born daughter. She said, you know, you're used to, because you already have a little boy who's 2.5 and now you have a newborn. So you're used to, come on, let's go. We have this pace that we've developed. There's things he's learned to do, but now you're going to have to stop for her. You have to stop for her because she has different needs. And now I'm learning I need to stop for me because I have different needs now. And it's not a situation where I can wait for everything to beautifully fall into place. Oh my gosh, it's 9:30. The house is clean. The clothes are washed. The kids are not running around. Now I will have my quiet time. No, It is not like that. It's you protecting the principle that redeems you and preserves you, and that's fellowship with God. So God, I don't know how it's going to happen today, but because I know that I need this personal time with you, help me fight for it today.
So good.
Help me fight for it, whether it's 5 minutes, 15 minutes, or some miraculous 45-minute time period where I can really study the word. And it does happen sometimes. You know, we need to quiet ourselves because that's where God speaks, right? He speaks after the storm in that gentle whisper, you know. But are we trying to still ourselves to listen, you know? And I used to have a fear. I don't want to still myself because I don't know what God's going to say. What if he says something that just blows my mind, you know? But he has great things to say to us. He has things to say that no person, no material thing, no Starbucks, no shopping can compare with. And if we would just take the time and say, Lord, this is the most important decision I'm making today to preserve my time with you however I can. Help me get there.
So good.
It's so important. It's so important.
So good. Wow. We're so blessed. Maybe give our phone number again.
Sure.
Someone wants to call in.
I know that this is something that's kind of a hard subject for some of you, but we would love to hear from you. I'm sure there's been some decisions that you've made maybe in 2021 or maybe one recently that you made in 2022. And we would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-338-7060. Or if you're local in Baltimore, and outside of the United States, 410-483-3700. We'd love to hear from you today.
Well, we've got some comments here on Facebook. Joy and Joanne, thank you so much for making comments. Thea is talking about how we only hear God when we take time to listen.
Yes.
Beautiful comment.
Yes. And that's so true, right? We have to take that time, right? We have to say, I am going to use this time for me and God. And I'm not going to apologize for it because he has awesome things to speak into me. Thanks so much for joining us today, everybody. God bless you. Join us at service tonight at 7 p.m. We hope to see you there. Talk to you later. Welcome back, everybody. We are in our second half of Grace Hour this afternoon, just talking about walking in our decisions that we've made with God. And as we unpack it, we realize this isn't necessarily a black or white thought process. You know, there's flesh involved. There's the past involved. Sometimes there's our hesitancies, our fears. And sometimes, like we had just said, we have to recommit ourselves to God in this area because we've just been off doing our own thing and slapping God's name on it. But he is not a part of some of the decisions that we've been making. That's just how the flesh operates. And Michelle, I love what you said at the beginning of the fall, last fall. You said, I have been praying for God to give me a verse for the year. And I never forgot that because having that frame of reference to go back to when things get tough, not if, but when they get tough, it's so important. And it made me feel a motivation to begin praying, God, you know, do you have a verse for me for the year? You know, I'm about to expand my family, be in a different season. I would love to hear a word from you, you know? So I just think it's important because God places these memorials in our thinking, in our mind to remind us, hey, I have been here for you before. Hey, I have proven my faithfulness to you. But when you doubt me, and I know that you will because I made you, when you doubt me, remember these words that I personally put on your heart. It's so important to have. Can you say that again about the rocky soil, Michelle?
Sure.
Just about what you think that.
In case you missed it, I think we develop our own rocks. These rocks, you can't grow a real rock, but you can give something strength and power. You start out playing a funny little game on your phone, mm-hmm. and you don't realize how much you are back there checking. I've got to check it at noontime. Oh, at six. Oh, at this. They're giving a special. And all of a sudden, like, really? You're spending more time on a game than in the Word or even talking to your poor husband. Mm. Oh, can you tell how this is? Whose problem is this? Probably not Jasmine's.
What?
But we're taking the time to water this thing. And we're not watering ourselves with the washing of the Word. We're caught up in the next big thing. And any video game or anything, any gambling thing, it starts out so innocent, so small.
Yeah, right.
Oh, we'll let you do it for free.
And that's how the enemy works, right? He's not obvious from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, it all seems like it's light. It's no big deal. It's just a text message. It's just a game. It's just one little thing I do to relieve my stress, even though I know it totally breaks my family apart or it hardens a part of my heart. But then I just listen to a worship song. I try to get back on my feet, you know, like that little fox.
Yeah.
That little fox spoils the vine.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. I think we have some big rocks called stubbornness. Mm-hmm. And God is wanting us to see it, identify it, and get it out. Mm-hmm. All right? Stubbornness is like Abigail's husband, Nabal, in 1 Samuel 25:3. He was churlish. He was severe. He was cruel. He was grievous, hard-hearted, obstinate, stiff-necked. He knew. Mm-hmm. He knew that David had been anointed king. He knew that David was better than Saul as far as militarily. You know, David had more courage. David had more men following him. Mm. But, you know, he was stubborn. And when David came and said, hey, can you share with us? He was like, nope, nope. He treated him like, you know, a runaway servant. And that's not because he didn't know. He knew. He didn't care. And we have these areas in our life where we get stubborn about certain things.
That is definitely, that's more along the lines of what Jasmine struggles with.
Not meaning to call anybody out.
No, it's true. You know, we just have this way about us where we just put ourselves in the position of God sometimes. Like, we don't want to say it like that. But that's exactly what we do when we want to just push humility aside, push the fact that we may not know the answer to this decision aside. And it reminds me of a sermon I was listening to. I was sharing with Michelle. I listened to a sermon by Charles Stanley. Love him. Gosh, what an amazing man of God. The name of the sermon is Making Wise Decisions. And one of the things that he begins with in this sermon is that when you are making a decision with God, don't be fast about it. Why are you in a hurry? Yes, some things have deadlines. Sometimes people can be putting pressure on you. But again, when you're taking that time to be quiet and listen, that is not a rushed process. And God is never in a hurry. And if you are snapping your fingers, you know, so to speak, in your prayer, because you just want to get the answer and keep moving, that's not a fellowship experience with God. Mm. That's not really seeking his heart. Take the time. These are decisions that are making up the days of your life. They are not to be made in haste. And I loved that very simple reminder, you know, a decision, a wise decision you're making because of God shouldn't be rushed, even if you feel ready for an answer. In many cases, we're not ready. We are not ready. All of us are struggling with busy schedules, trying to be reminded of what we want and how we should be trying to live, the things that should be habits in our lives that we're still struggling with. You know, you don't just get on your knees and, you know, throw a couple prayers up and say, okay, God, you know, speak to me as I continue on with the day. You know, sometimes there's a lot in one day. I can definitely say right now, my days can be very crowded, you know, but God knows my heart. And I would much rather say, God, after everything is done today, when someone is taking a short little night nap and I can really pay attention to you for 10 minutes, I would rather that than just have these words on my lips, but not have my heart involved.
Mm.
You know, it's so important. Do not rush when you are making a decision with God.
So good. Well, one rock I was confronted with recently, my husband took off the week between Christmas and New Year's, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, every day is going to be a honeymoon day. We're going to have so much fun. We fought every day. every day. Every day. You know, the correct way to do this, the GPS, how do we get there? You're taking this route, that route. You don't do this. And then it just came to a head. We were putting a new cover on a duvet on the bed, and I just lost it. I am screaming at the poor man. This is not how we do it. We've always done it a certain way. Why are you doing this? I stomped out of the bedroom. And like, really, did we just not talk about love and respect in December?
Oh, that's how it goes. That was the test.
It was the test. It was my final exam on love and respect, and I blew it big time. My poor husband spent the rest of his vacation hiding from me.
Oh,
all right? You know, of course, I apologize. I didn't see it. I had this big list of things. Hey, buddy, you're doing X, Y, and Z. And my poor husband said, you know what? I'm going to just go to my office right now because I sense a bit of tension in the room.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, just leave me alone with the Lord. Fine.
Yeah.
So he did, and I repented. Mm. And I think God showed me I was taking preferences. Okay, there may be the most perfect, right, correct, easy way to put a duvet cover on
a duvet, Michelle.
really, I'm taking my preference.
Yeah,
how right. I want to do. Yes. Now, never even mind the fact that I've got this man helping me.
I know, right? You don't see all the other things. You just see that this is the way you wanted, and you are now getting in my way because you are not doing it the way that I want you to.
Oh my gosh! Pray for Ron Benoit. Pray for all of us. Yes. Oh my gosh. So God showed me I was taking my preferences and putting them above my relationship with my husband. And do I sometimes do that with God? Mm-hmm. You know, put these little important rocks. I even polish some of the rocks.
Oh, my
gosh.
Yes,
how much time? It's got to be my way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, exhausted, right? Exhausting.
We have to be willing, too, to let some things kind of come out of order, you know? I mean, it's just, and I'm saying this out loud to myself too. You know, I have so many different backgrounds and things, and I apply a lot of the things that I've learned through different jobs and positions that I've had, all of them pretty big responsibilities, whether it was being on stage, coordinating an international conference, you know, whatever I have done, it has been interwoven into so many areas of my life, and I'm grateful. But at the same time, even though I like for things to have an order, I like to have an expectation, sometimes it's just messy.
Yeah.
It's messy as you are pursuing the Lord, and that's it. Sometimes something won't get done. Sometimes a person won't get called back. I'm finding myself making decisions ongoingly now. Okay, I have a 20-minute time pocket and about 18 things that I need to do. So what are the top 2, maybe 3, you know, I'm trying so hard, but God showed me you cannot put everything at the high priority list.
Yeah.
You can't do it because it will push him out sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you're not always in your right mind. You're trying to get so much done, or you're trying to meet your own or someone else's expectations. Let me ask a question. This is something that I ask myself now. Does it really matter that all of that got done? If you feel like you can't even find God anywhere, you're just so focused on Jasmine's perspective. And yes, the house looks nice. The kids did their learning today. You did this, you did that. But you feel so far from God because you have not really welcomed him into the day.
Mm.
You have not been willing to stop. You have not been willing to quiet down. You have not been willing to say, I will let go of my order so that I will be renewed. And that's only done at the feet of Christ.
So good.
You need to get down there, come sit and listen.
So good. Let's talk about the crowded heart, the crowded soil. In Luke 8:7, it says, some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprang up with it and choked it. But if you go to Mark 4:19, it gives you the definition where he says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
Hmm.
Cares. Do we need to define cares?
I think we have defined it throughout.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's what our flesh yields to. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many things that appeal to our flesh every day. And thank God for this beautiful book. My God, thank you. I thank God for the Bible that doesn't change. I thank God that he doesn't change. And that when I have gone crazy, which is usually daily at some point, I can come back to the word and say, God, remind me who I am in you. And I remember someone teaching me in a Bible study. I was going through such a hard time in my family. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to just give up on everything, on everyone. Mm-hmm. And she said, don't forget who you are in the midst of this situation. You belong to God. Mm-hmm. And you make sure no matter what's going on and however crazy these days get, you make sure you get alone with him. That's the only way you're going to make it through this.
So good. So good. This morning, we have an electric tea kettle, and I was filling it up at the sink, and then I turned to multitask and do something else and completely forgot about it until about 2 gallons of water had spilled all over the kitchen.
Oh, no.
Yep. So I had a lovely morning mopping things up, cleaning a cabinet out, and Jason came downstairs, and I told him what happened. He goes, the floor looks so lovely, Mom.
Oh, my God.
And I'm
God.
Like, yep, it does. You know, and I could beat myself up half the morning.
Yeah, you can.
For
really
such a
can.
Simple, silly mistake. Mm-hmm. But I love my son, how he just turns it the other way. You know, oh, the house looks so great. It's so sparkly.
Yeah.
Yep. Aww. The deceitfulness of riches. And oh my gosh, if you collect something, I have gone from collection to collection to collection in my life. Mm-hmm. And we think our collections, are, whatever it is, mm-hmm. are so important, and we go after this elusive part of our collection, and we spend time and money, and I've got a collection of little houses, and I was buying one for every year that Ron and I were married, and it's in a cabinet, and it's so cute.
How sweet.
But you know what? I'm so sick of it, because... You know, like really, the minute I die, no one is going to care about these stupid
Praise
houses.
Praise the Lord.
You
yes.
know, I am not yes. taking them to heaven. And no. so maybe we just stop some of this stuff. Let me read to you. You think that this world system is so important. Your collection of purses or arts and craft supplies. Oh my gosh, there's never ending arts and craft supplies. Let me read to you from Revelation what's going to happen with... They call it Babylon. Sometimes when I'm in a mood, I call it Amazon.
Oh,
but here we go in verse 11. This is the Message version in case you don't recognize it. The traders will cry and carry on because the bottom dropped out of business. There's no more market for their goods, their gold, their silver, their precious gems. He goes on to mention like 15 things, cinnamon, wow. spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, flour, wheat, and the slaves, their terrible traffic in human lives. Hmm. Everything you ever lived for will be gone. All the delicate and delectable luxuries lost, not a scrap, not a thread to be found. The traders who made millions kept their distance for fear of getting burned and cried and carried on all the more. Dressed in the latest fashions, adorned with the finest jewels, in 1 hour, all such wealth will be wiped out. Mm-hmm. They threw dust on their heads and cried as if the world had come to an end. Mm-hmm. And all who owned ships or did business then got rich on getting and spending. It's all over. It was wiped out in 1 hour. Mm-hmm. Here's a prophecy for you.
Wow.
You know, yes, the stock market, yes, savings, yes, you know, we need our whatever, you know, toilet paper.
Yeah, we need things for practical everyday living.
I like a new purse every Christmas, mm-hmm. but you know what? It's all going to go. Mm-hmm. In an hour, mm-hmm. it's all going to burn. What are you going to pay for the kindling?
Mm. And, you know, sometimes I think because we have the voices of the world around us so much, especially in work environments, we can really be led to start to believe, well, you know, I did have this principle going into this job that I do not stay past this time. But now we're doing this. Maybe I'll get promoted. Maybe I'll get that recognition and respect from my boss that I so deserve. Mm. You know, so I am going to start sacrificing over here in my home so that I can still stay behind this desk.
Sure.
And I think this is a very real thing that people face, whether it be in a specific work environment or other commitments that you make, sometimes maybe even in ministry. You know, you have to stop and really think about, what is the exchange going on here?
Mm-hmm.
What is the exchange? Because she's only going to be this age one time. And if you miss it, you miss it.
Yeah.
You know, this person is only going to be living with me at this time, or visiting me for this amount of time, or they only have this amount of time left on the earth. Mm. And I know that, and they know that. And I cannot lift things higher expecting it to really be justified.
Sure.
You know, I think different. I live different. And that means I stop before I make a decision that the world would justify. And I say, is this really okay with God?
Mm.
You have to stop. You have to stop. And I wanted to reference this verse too in Proverbs 18:13. The one who gives an answer before he listens, this is foolishness and disgrace for him.
Sure.
It's just so important for us, because no one in the world is going to say, stop and evaluate the most important things about your life with God. No one in the world is going to say that. That's our responsibility to say, hey, God, am I making this decision with you, or am I making it and then asking you to bless it, even though I have heard nothing from you? And we're not talking about practical things like, you know, food, drink, going, getting groceries. It's not like that. It's when something is before you and you know it's going to take a time investment, a mind investment. And you're saying, do I want to join myself with this? And to what degree should I do it? That's a very good question to ask God, because I like what you said before earlier, Michelle, when you were talking to your husband, there was something going on in the situation, but you couldn't see it. You were so absorbed in what your desires were that there was something else going on right in front of you, and you just couldn't see it. And we don't even realize when we're walking like that sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? But when we stop and listen and we value God's wisdom over this earthly wisdom that's always surrounding us, that's the difference in us being believers in Christ.
Well, the cure for weeds is, the scripture tells us, break up the fallow ground. That verse apparently is so important that it's mentioned twice, Hosea 10:12 and Jeremiah 4:3. And it means don't sow good seed among thorns. They would take land and allow it to lie fallow, and they would let weeds and thorns and thistles grow, and then they would turn it over. And that organic material only enriched the soil. The destruction of the weeds was important and a worthy goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you let the land rest, you know, you plant something all year, you reap it, and then you don't just leave it.
Mm.
So we don't throw good things when our life is already crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bible college starts in about 10 days.
Ooh.
And I want to take a class, but I've got to reckon, okay, what am I not going to do?
Right.
In order to take
exchange.
This class.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And whatever class I pick, I always kind of make that day holy. I'll put that in air quotation marks. I try not to go out to lunch that day.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
I try to make a quick dinner or have one of my family members make dinner for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that I can just concentrate maybe on my homework or rereading a scripture passage that was assigned. And that's how I break up my fallow ground.
Wow, I love that.
You know, I'm as old as I am and I'm still in Bible college.
No, I'm so glad you're there, Michelle.
Because I need it.
Yeah.
I need it.
You never get too old
for the
Word of God.
I really don't think you do.
No.
Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof.
Yes.
You know, a weed is there because we've allowed it to grow.
Mm-hmm.
We've made a provision. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, check things out with the Holy Spirit. When you wake up in the morning, say good morning to Him. Mm. Your decisions are going to affect your soul.
Yes.
So let's check them out. First, yes, with Jesus, then on a daily practical thing. Okay, I'm going to Bible college. Jesus and I have decided that. Mm-hmm. Now, how do I walk circumspectly, mm-hmm, this week to, mm-hmm, make sure that happens?
Yes.
2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts. Mm. All right, we have these crazy desires. How do we flee them? Well, the good soil is this good ground, and I actually went online and checked out soil health.
Oh.
And they have 4 key practices to healthy soil. One is this idea of cover crops,
okay,
where you don't leave a field after you've reaped the harvest. You plant something. It's a throwaway kind of a crop. Mm-hmm. It could be some kind of hay. You're just going to turn it over later.
Okay.
But you don't leave bare, naked soil. And I feel like God wants us to cover things. I happy Christian music. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to a book by Tony Evans in the morning when I'm riding my exercise bike. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not my main time with God, mm-hmm, but it's a covering for the atmosphere.
Yes, yes.
Compost is also number 2. So we are shocked and surprised when things are messy and dirty, but God knows He's going to turn that over, mm-hmm, in our, that rubbish is, yes, going to get turned over, and it's going to add, the things we go through are going to add to our lives.
Yes.
He's going to use these things. Mm-hmm. Rotation, diversity, you know, crop rotation. Well, you go to Bible college this semester. Maybe next semester you join the Women's Connection class. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe in the summer you make it a point to go on outreach. Mm-hmm. You know you're going to get built up. You rotate different things that you do.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I remember my husband and I talking over the summer about the summer and the fall. And you know me, I'm creating our little schedule so that we can know what routines we're going to be implementing. And when I looked at his schedule and I looked at mine, I said, okay, now where is my spiritual outlet going to be and where is yours going to be? Because this can very easily get lost. We get very busy. There's so much cool stuff to do.
Yeah.
But we need to make sure that we have something we're interacting with weekly that is teaching us and that we can truly benefit from spiritually. And that's how you have to look at these decisions. I love that. I love that you said, because I'm making this decision, I need to make these other supporting decisions to make sure that this decision is carried out well.
Yes.
So awesome.
So good.
So awesome. Reminds me of that verse in Song of Solomon about God supporting us in our decisions, because it is different when we start carrying them out.
I love it.
Very, very good.
The last thing was tillage, the agitation of the soil.
Okay.
I've had a week of agitation, and I have to sit with the Lord and say, okay, it's good for me that I was afflicted, that because I have learned your word and,
yes,
learned your way.
Yes.
We have to guard our heart. We have to lean on our beloved. If you read through the Song of Solomon, it's so quick. It's got such short chapters, and it's so fun to read. See the places that the king takes the bride. Okay. In Song of Solomon 1:8, besides the shepherd's tents. I always think about that of going to church, mm-hmm, you know, being making myself available to preaching. Excuse me. Song of Solomon 2:4, to the banqueting house. Ooh, this is great. Exciting. Next chapter, 3:6, he leads me out of the wilderness. Even after a banqueting experience, mm-hmm, I got lost in the wilderness, but he leads me out. Mm-hmm. And then, oh my gosh, Song of Solomon 4:8, up on the mountains we go. Mountain experience, 6:2, into his garden. Let's see what's important to him. Mm-hmm. What is he wanting to plant in the soil of my heart? 7:11, out into the field. 7:12, up to the vineyards. But it all starts, and this is so important, we see this girl traveling with the king to all these different places, but it all starts, and the key verse is Song of Solomon 1:4, the king has brought me into his chamber. It all starts with an intimate walk, an intimate life with the Lord.
Yes.
And I looked up the Hebrew word for chamber, and it means bedroom. I mean, God is not pulling any punches about what he's talking about here.
Wow, there.
Very personal, okay. Very intimate. You know, when we get saved, he doesn't lead her into the kitchen to
right.
get to work. Here's a mountain of potatoes and a peeler. No, he doesn't even lead us into church.
Yeah,
stop trying
right.
to draw people to church mm-hmm. as a way of salvation, because mm-hmm. he doesn't even want, I want you to come worship me first. No, he leads us into his chambers.
Wow.
Mark 4:34, when they were alone with him, mm-hmm. Jesus expounded all things to his disciples. Don't be afraid to get alone with God.
Yes, yes. I know sometimes we can think, what if God's will for me right now involves suffering? Well, that suffering will be purposeful.
Hmm.
God will create something in you that's great.
And just a quick shout out to our dear friend Mary, who's in the hospital. We're praying for you, dear.
The program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.